Bishop Garcia, my name's Melissa Minnick, and with St. John Vianney, we wish to present to you the following young men and women who have been prepared and are ready to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Each candidate has been well instructed and is accompanied by a sponsor. I invite the entire class of candidates to please stand.
Thank you, Melissa, for presenting these candidates to you, as well as to the other catechists that have been involved in their formation. Please express to them my thanksgiving for the ways that you have not only just shared information, but more importantly, shared your lives. Thank you very much. And to you, Father Tom, Deacon Jean, and the other deacons of the parish community, thank you for the ways that you've supported Melissa and all those who have been involved in their formation. To you, the candidates, it's a great day in your life, but also in the life of this parish community. Because I've always believed that when we celebrate important days in our lives, we don't do those just by ourselves. There are other people to help us to celebrate these days. And one of the most beautiful things we could do is to celebrate this important moment in the life and the context of this parish community. So to you, the parish community of St. John Vianney, to you, the sponsors, family, parents, grandparents, extended family, thank you for your support of these young people who stand before us, who are about to make a very, very profound statement in their lives. And I wish and invite you to join me in showing them a sign of congratulations. You guys can be seated. Now, Melissa just said very clearly, I think, if I heard her correctly, that you guys and ladies have been well-formed, right? What does that mean? Adora, what does that mean to be well-formed? Well-educated. Well, if you've been well-educated for this important day, then I think that's only an invitation to Bishop Garcia to do what? To find out how well-educated you are, right? Isn't that what the bishop is supposed to do on confirmation? Didn't they already scare you that I was going to come around and maybe ask you a question? Nicholas, should I ask you the first question or go to someone else? It's okay. You can say go to someone else. I'm giving you an out. It is a great day in the life of the church, but in particular your lives. And I think really how more appropriate, if you will, the scripture readings for today. They're just beautiful. That Gospel of John, that encounter that Jesus had with the disciples on the evening of that first day of the week, after Jesus had died and rose from the dead, and then he comes back. He comes back to the disciples. He comes back to remind them that he's here, that he's with them. He wants them to not fear that they're alone. So he comes to them and he says, peace be with you. Peace. And they're like, oh my gosh. Wow. It's him. It's my friend who I've spent the last 3 years with, walking with him, listening to him, being at his feet, watching him cure the sick, watching him heal, forgive those who have done wrong, help the paralyzed man, etc., etc. They've seen all those signs. And they thought that their lives, in a sense, were like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to us now? Because they remember what happened to him. And they were scared. They were fearful. But I think that's why he comes back, because he wants to remind them that regardless of what happens in the future, that he's going to be here with them. And some of the disciples, as you heard in that gospel, they believed it was him. They believed. But there was one guy in that gospel that you hear about that was not there at that very first appearance. Who was that apostle? Thomas. Did anybody take the name of Thomas for confirmation? Everybody's going, I'm not going to be put on the spot. But Thomas was that one apostle that was not there. And so when his other friends, the disciples, the apostles, said to him, guess who came? Guess who came? Jesus was here. And what does Thomas say? I'm not going to believe until what? I'm able to put my finger into those nail prints or my hand into his side. Then I'm going to believe. Thomas always gets, I always think, the rug pulled out of him, because often people kind of critique him that, how could you doubt that that was Jesus? My guess is that most of us would be that Thomas, because we would want to know, really? Is it really you? So what does Jesus do? He comes back, doesn't he? He comes back. Now Thomas is there. And he says, Thomas, peace. It's me. He says, put your fingers in my nail prints. If that's what it takes, do it. And it's in that encounter, in that interaction that he has with Jesus, Thomas and Jesus, that Thomas's eyes are opened. And he said, oh my gosh, it is you. And he says, my Lord and my God. He expresses that profound statement of belief. Of belief. My dear friends, on this wonderful Sunday of Divine Mercy Sunday, I think that's what ultimately God is wanting of you and me, is that our faith to be deepened, to believe. And you started that journey of belief a long time ago. So, let's see about questions. Everybody's kind of looking down. And if I approach one of you, and I might want to ask you a question, Amanda, don't look down. It's not that bad, really. But if I ask you a question, if you don't know the answer, what should you do? Ask. Ask who? Me. Good answer. But I think rather than ask me, you should ask your sponsor. Because isn't that why you chose your sponsor? Because they would know all the answers that I might ask you? Any question? Now all the sponsors are saying, forget it, I don't want out of this. That's not what I signed up for. But Amanda, you know, seriously, every one of us in here began our sacramental journey when one particular thing happened to us. When did your sacramental journey begin? When did your relationship with God begin? A long time ago. When you were a baby. And what happened when you were a baby? You got baptized. You got baptized. That was the day that when you and I, when we were baptized, we became part of the body of Christ, the church. That's why you have that beautiful font in the entryway of the church. Not over here on the side, not over here off to the by the altar, but at the very entryway. Because that sign and that symbol reminds us. Every time we dip our hands into the water and make the sign of the cross, we're reminded of our baptism. That's where our sacramental journey began. That's where our faith, life with God, with Jesus began. For many of us, a long time ago. Not everyone. Sometimes some people are baptized a little bit later. But regardless of when, our sacramental journey began there. And it was on that day of your baptism that Jesus said to you and to me, you are mine. You belong to me. He knows that you are the son or daughter of your parents and what a gift you are to them. But Gabriel, he said to you on that day, you belong to me. You will always be mine. Now, as you began to grow, you began to learn about who God is, who Jesus is, who is Mary, what is the church. But when did you really begin to start learning about your faith? Right? We were baptized, so that started the journey. But when did we begin to learn about our faith? Was it when we first went to religious education? When was it? Nicholas? I've only asked you, this is the second person I've asked, right? So when did you begin to learn about the faith? At home. Awesome. At home. Because so oftentimes we think in our heads, intellectually, that I first started learning about Jesus or the church or what our responsibilities are as a Catholic is when we go to religious education or Catholic school. That's not true. We start being formed in the faith at home. Our parents, our grandparents, our godparents, maybe aunts and uncles, whoever is around us. Because on that day of your baptism and my baptism, the priest or deacon asked your parents, are you willing to raise these children in the practice of the faith? In other words, are you willing to share with them the faith that you believe in? And that's not just, it is about maybe reading them a Bible story and maybe telling them in a book, the catechism or first grade book, whatever it may be, about what is the Eucharist and what is baptism. But the most profound way that we teach people about our faith is by the witness of our lives. The witness of our lives. And so, Nicholas, when they began to teach you, when bringing you to church and telling you stories about God and showing you, maybe pointing to pictures like the or image of the Easter candle or the crucifix, and saying and explaining that to you began to ask them questions. Mom, why does Father Tom always use that incense? Does it smell that bad in here? And you began to get those answers and you began to learn. So you began to have a real lived experience of what it means to be a Catholic Christian. But as you continue to grow, the hope is that intellectually that you begin to learn. So you get various books, texts, Bibles, you go on retreats, you do acts of charity, you do service projects, you do all these kinds of different things to form you and to help you to understand what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the Catholic tradition. And then you come to this moment. Nicholas, I asked Amanda the first question, and then I asked you the second question. Who should I ask the third question? Oh. Now remember, before you mention their names, they were a friend. They may not be a friend after you mention their names. So who should I ask the next question, Nicholas? Benjamin Hall. Benjamin. Nicholas was a friend, wasn't he? Benjamin, how do you think, this is not an answer that's in the book, okay? Why do you want to be confirmed? Say that a little bit louder. To grow a strong or create a stronger relationship with Jesus. Great, thank you. To have a stronger relationship with Jesus. And I would say to you, Benjamin, Nicholas, Amanda, and all of you, that today as you stand up in a few moments and I'm going to ask you some questions, I'm going to say, do you renounce Satan? And what are you going to say? I do. You're going to say, I don't want to have anything to do with the devil. Then I'm going to say, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? And what are you going to say? You're going to say, I believe in God who created me, who created the world. You're going to stand up and you're going to make some statements about not only what you say you believe, but how you want to believe for the rest of your life. You want that relationship with God to grow stronger. And guys and ladies, it doesn't happen magically. There's nothing magic I'm going to do here today. I'm going to ask, Father Tom is going to ask that the Holy Spirit come upon you, that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can be those strong witnesses in today's world. So you can be like Thomas the Apostle, who saw Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. But it's not good enough to say that here. The challenge that you and I have is to live our Catholic faith out there. Out there where? At home? In our schools? where we work, where we play, in our neighborhoods. That's the challenge that you and I have. Because I can give you every book and say, here, Patricia, take this book. I want you to memorize it. And tomorrow afternoon I want you to come and I'm going to ask you every question that's in there. I'm really not going to do that. But I could, because I want you to know what's in the book. But the challenge is, Patricia and all of you, is that we need to learn that. That's important. The prayers are important. What it is we believe as Catholics is important. But the challenge is to live it out there. And you don't have to stand on the corner of a street sign and say, hello, I'm a Catholic. What you need to do is to practice your faith. And people will know you by the way you live your lives. My friends, that's the key. That's what it means to be a witness of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We live in a world where there's always times, isn't there? There's all kinds of examples of hurt and suffering, of pain. Some of that naturally happens. It just happens, like when you have a natural disaster, when we had Hurricane Harvey that did horrific damage to so many people. Those things just happen. But look what happened after the hurricane hit, how quickly and fast thousands of people were coming to try to assist those who were hurting. Look what happens when there is some kind of act of violence where someone suffers a tragedy. People immediately try to respond and say, how can I help? What can we do? That's what you and I are called to do. So when you see somebody that's hurting or struggling, that you do everything you can to lift them up and help them. Because why? That's exactly what Jesus did. And the one thing that you and I have the potential to do, we can change the world in which we live in by the way we live our lives. And that means for all of us as adults, as parents, as godparents, sponsors, we have to constantly be reflective individuals. When you hear the scriptures being proclaimed Sunday after Sunday, and whether it's Father Tom or Deacon Jean or whoever else is preaching, they're trying to give you a roadmap of how to be like Jesus Christ. And the challenge that you and I have is to try to put that message into practice. Are we perfect? No. None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. We started the Mass by saying, forgive us of our sins. Right before we receive Holy Communion, we're going to say, I'm not worthy to receive you. But even though we're sinners, God still keeps calling you and me to follow Him. Why? Because He wants you and me to be His witnesses in the world in which we live in. Because He believes that we have the potential to change the world by the way we live our lives. And I really invite you and ask you, as you say your prayers day in and day out, ask God to help you to become more like Him. To become more like Him. When you come in a few moments to receive Holy Communion, whether you receive the host on your hand or you receive it on your tongue, and I say, Body of Christ, and you say, Amen, I believe. You're saying, I believe, not only that this is the body of Christ, but you're saying, Amen, I want to be more like Him. I want to be more like Him. So congratulations on this wonderful day in your life. God has already blessed you abundantly, and I believe God will continue to bless you. But I ask you always to be open with your heart to Him. Allow Him to help you. Allow God to help you. That's why He's sending you the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit will strengthen you and be a source of strength, of support. To you, the parents and godparents, I want to say thank you, sponsors. Thank you for the witness that you give to these young people. But it doesn't end today. They still need our witness, our example, day in and day out. That's how we learn. We learn by the witness of each other. That's why Jesus gained such a following, because people were caught up in this charismatic preacher, rabbi, and what he didn't just speak about forgiveness, he showed people forgiveness. And on this weekend of divine mercy, maybe all of us need to look at our lives and to say, who are the people in my life that I need to, one, either to forgive, or two, who are the people in my life that I need to ask them to forgive me? Forgiveness is not an easy task. I stand in front of you as a personal witness. It isn't. But if you continually look to God for God's help, I believe every one of us can get there. But we can't do it alone. And I think that's why we come to church. At least that's why I come to church. I come to church because I know my faults and my weaknesses. I know where I still need to grow. But I come because I believe God can help me to be the person that He wants me and you to be. Amen? Amen.